News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
Let's go to the man who started this debate, presidential candidate Peter Casey. Peter, you're setting the agenda, I think it's fair to say. Was that the goal this time last week, to try and ignite this campaign, to try and ignite your campaign?
No. The comment was made, and I was asked about the social housing crisis and what would I do to, how could I influence that? And I talked to some of my friends who are councillors, and they explained to me that there were people turning down houses two and three times because they wanted different or better houses. And then I heard about the situation in Tipperary, and it's so wrong that people are being offered houses and they're turning it down when people are sleeping in the streets in Dublin. And then I turned my mind around, how do we help get over the housing crisis? And I've obviously lived all around the world, and in different countries they've got different solutions. This is not the first housing crisis that we've got in the world. Like, for example, after World War II ended, we had a huge housing crisis, and the way America solved it, they introduced the GI Bill, and what that did was the government co-funded servicemen returning to help them buy into a new home. And they went and gave them loans on 50% of the properties. Now, what that did was it stimulated the whole building industry.
Yeah.
And that created...
You could say that's a welfare payment, though.
No, but you see, the difference is they didn't give them a house. They encouraged them to buy a house. They helped them buy 50% of the property. The servicemen and women owned the properties, but the government gave them a long-term 25-year loan at a fixed interest rate, and that stimulated the entire American economy. All the auxiliary industries associated with the housing, and the same industry in New Zealand, for example, just to cut the spiralling house prices, they put a ban on foreigners buying. You had to be in New Zealand to buy it, and that. So there's lots of things.
I mean, look, people turn down houses all over the country all the time. We know that for a fact. Why did it stand out for you when you heard about a traveller family doing it?
It was just a coincidence. It happened to be a traveller family. I think it's insulting to travellers to say that they're different. If I wouldn't want to be regarded as different. I'd want to be, to classify somebody, you're different. We're all the same. That's the amazing, beautiful thing about Ireland. We don't differentiate different ethnic groups. We welcome them into our country, and we have got so many wonderful different cultures, ethnic groups here, and that's the thing that actually really, I'm very passionate about India, and I've been there many times, a lot more than Leo Varadkar has been there, and in the last 3 years I've been there at least 10 times.
Mm-hmm. And your point is what about it?
That, he knew that I am not a racist, yet he came out and said he interfered in the presidential process. Here is a candidate who's he's fully entitled, of course, to endorse a party like he has done. And that's absolutely his prerogative. It's not his prerogative. It's not his prerogative to get involved in the process of the presidency. A duly elected, nominated by four counties, and a candidate, and he tells people not to vote for the person that has been nominated by Kerry, Clare, Limerick, and Tipperary.
Do you understand, and I know you stand over your comments, and lots of people agree with those comments, do you understand how some people might find those comments offensive?
I got over 3,000 emails from when I announced I was stepping down. Over 3,000.
Okay. Do you understand how people might find them offensive, though?
There's absolutely nothing offensive about anything I said. I simply pointed out that we need to treat everyone equally. Now, how anyone can find that racist is just beyond me. And for the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach, both of them, to come out, I find that deeply offensive and hurtful.
Peter, were you being deliberately provocative? Did you set out a week ago to shake up this race?
That's not the way my brain works. I don't sit back and say, I'm going to do this in 10 days' time. There are things, I would like to take credit for having that depth of long-term planning. When something strikes me as wrong, I turn around and I say, that just strikes me as wrong, And that's when people say that the Office of the Presidency has got no influence. I have had, look at the influence that I have actually, the discussion that I've created, and it was a discussion. Even Pádraig McLaughlin from Sinn Féin, I said that he supported the fact that we were creating a discussion, and it was a discussion that needed to be had. Now, he did say he disagreed with my comments, but yeah, that the discussion needed to be had, and it's, you know, we need to. The social housing is the biggest problem. The solution is for the government to introduce a co-ownership scheme. The middle people in Ireland are the ones.
That is beyond your remit to suggest policy measures.
Oh no, you
for
can suggest what you want if you're president. There's nothing to stop you from making a suggestion. It's different if the government policy was opposed to that. If the government had a policy of absolutely not doing that, but there used to be a co-ownership program, so it's not the government's policy. I can't say anything against government policy.
Well, there is still a co-ownership. There is a
but
co-ownership
to
the local authorities.
We need to.
I suppose some people listening would say, you know what? Okay, Peter Casey, he says what's on his mind. I respect that, but there might also be a view says, you know what? When you're the president, we can't have a president shooting his mouth off, saying whatever comes into his head.
It's not shooting your mouth out. It's making well thought comments. They are that are not racist. That are just comments that will ignite discussion on things that need to be discussed. You know,
were you serious about not running at the weekend on Friday when you said you?
Absolutely. First of all, I was very hurt because the friends of mine who know I'm not racist, and the Taoiseach who knows I'm not racist, I've brought the head of the biggest company in India over to meet Enda Kenny to Ireland to look at setting up a centre of excellence.
You were shook by what happened.
I was shook, then I was annoyed, confused, then I got annoyed, you know, and then I went up and talked to, you know, to my family and my children and my wife, and over 3,000 emails came in.
Okay, because you know? I mean, you obviously had decided by what, lunchtime Saturday,
late morning lunchtime Saturday, you know, I'd sort of thought this is just, you know, something people, I'm not saying anything that shouldn't be said. I'm not. I haven't said anything unconstitutional. I haven't in any way. If anyone has breached the ethos of the Constitution, it's the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste for getting involved in a presidential election.
I don't think they've breached any constitutional law.
Oh no, I did. I said they were going against the spirit of the Constitution. They certainly didn't break the Constitution.
Okay. Just very finally on the this Ireland being a welfare state. Do you actually believe that to be the case?
You know, if you give a person a fish, you feed him for a day. You know, the Middle Ireland are the ones that have been squeezed. We need to help the people in the Middle Ireland to help them get onto the housing ladder. There's no way that a young family can possibly even think of getting onto it. And they're getting the hard-working people getting up early in the morning, getting working, two jobs, and they can't possibly get onto the housing
ladder. Leo Varadkar said he wanted to represent those who get up early in the morning.
Well, I think he needs to get up a bit earlier then, because he's certainly not representing them.
Okay, what happens next? I mean, look, we have the election is on Friday. I know you're still hell bent on winning it. If you don't win that, and the polls are not very favourable in relation to that, is this the end of Peter Casey as a career in politics, or would you consider standing for the Dáil, for example, in the next general election?
Look, that's just not going to happen. I will win, so you know. I mean, I'm the world's eternal optimist. I got an astounding 13 votes in the Shannon election after working my heart out and travelling 10,000 miles and visiting every single county. If I was the sort of person that got put off by getting 13 votes, I would have given up then. That is not what I'm about. I know that the people, it's resonating with people, and I know that you know, there are things that need to be said, and I believe that. It's important that
they
are said.
Is that your campaign? I'm the man to say the things that need to be said?
Well, it's about time somebody said something, you know, because the vast majority of people in Middle Ireland are not being represented properly at the moment.
Okay, Peter Casey, presidential candidate. Thanks indeed for coming into us this morning.
Thank you very much.